Okay, well, my computer's telling me that it's Tuesday, July the 18th, day 199. 199 days, my friend, into this year, into this journey in the Word. How about that? Amazing. Well, my name's Hunter, and this is the Daily Radio Bible, and we are doing what we do every day. We're taking time in God's Word. We're letting God's Word take time on us. No, how we need that, no doubt about that. And today we're going to do that in the book of Isaiah. Man, I'm telling you, I'm really loving Isaiah. Isaiah 32 through 35, and then we move on to James, the brother of Jesus, James chapter 2. We're reading through the New Living Translation. Let's jump right in. Isaiah 32, Israel's ultimate deliverance. Look, a righteous king is coming, and honest princes will rule under him. Each one will be like a shelter from the wind and a refuge from a storm, like streams of water in the desert and the shadow of a great rock in a parched land. Then everyone who has eyes will be able to see the truth, and everyone who has ears will be able to hear it. Even the hotheads will be full of sense and understanding. Those who stammer will speak out plainly. In that day, ungodly fools will not be heroes. Scoundrels will not be respected. For fools speak foolishness and make evil plans. They practice ungodliness and spread false teachings about the Lord. They deprive the hungry of food and give no water to the thirsty. The smooth tricks of the scoundrels are evil. They plot crooked schemes. They lie to convict the poor, even when the cause of the poor is just. But generous people plan to do what is generous, and they stand firm in their generosity. Listen, you women who lie around in ease. Listen to me, you who are so smug. In a short time, just a little more than a year, you careless ones will suddenly begin to care. For your fruit crops will fail, and the harvest will never take place. Tremble, you women of ease. Throw off your complacency. Strip off your pretty clothes and put on burlap to show your grief. Beat your breast in sorrow for your bountiful farms and your fruitful grapevines. For your land will be overgrown with thorns and briars. Your joyful homes and happy towns will be gone. The palace and the city will be destroyed, and busy towns will be empty. Wild donkeys will frolic and flocks will graze in the empty forts and watchtowers, until at last the Spirit is poured out on us from heaven. Then the wilderness will become a fertile field, and the fertile field will yield bountiful crops. Justice will rule in the wilderness, and righteousness in the fertile field. And this righteousness will bring peace, yes, it will bring quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in safety, quietly at home. They will be at rest. Even if the forest should be destroyed and the city torn down, the Lord will greatly bless his people. Wherever they plant seed, bountiful crops will spring up. Their cattle and donkeys will graze freely. Isaiah 33. What sorrow awaits you Assyrians who have destroyed others, but have never been destroyed yourselves? You betrayed others, but you have never been betrayed. When you are done destroying, you will be destroyed. When you are done betraying, you will be betrayed. But Lord, be merciful to us, for we have waited for you. Be our strong arm each day, and our salvation in times of trouble. The enemy runs at the sound of your voice. When you stand up, the nations flee. Just as caterpillars and locusts strip the field and vines, so the fallen army of Assyria will be stripped. Though the Lord is very great and lives in heaven, he will make Jerusalem his home of justice and righteousness in that day. He will be your sure foundation, providing a rich store of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord will be your treasure. But now your brave warriors weep in public. Your ambassadors of peace cry in bitter disappointment. Your roads are deserted. No one travels them anymore. The Assyrians have broken their peace treaty and care nothing for the promise they made before witnesses. They have no respect for anyone. The land of Israel wilts in mourning. Lebanon withers with shame. The plain of Sharon is now a wilderness. Bashan and Carmel have been plundered. But the Lord says, now I will stand up. Now I will show my power and might. You Assyrians produce nothing but dry grass and stubble. Your own breath will turn to fire and consume you. Your people will be burned up completely, like thorn bushes cut down and tossed in a fire. Listen to what I have done, you nations far away. And you that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Jerusalem shake with fear. Terror seizes the godless. Who can live with this devouring fire, they cry? Who can survive this all-consuming fire? Those who are honest and fair, who refuse to profit by fraud, who stay far away from bribes, who refuse to listen to those who plot murder, who shut their eyes to all enticement to do wrong. These are the ones who will dwell on high. The rocks of the mountains will be their fortress. Food will be supplied to them, and they will have water in abundance. Your eyes will see the king in all his splendor, and you will see a land that stretches into the distance. You will think back to this time of terror, asking, where are the Assyrian officers who counted our towers? Where are their bookkeepers who recorded the plunder taken from our fallen city? You will no longer see these fierce, violent people with their strange, unknown language. Instead, you will see Zion as a place of holy festivals. You will see Jerusalem, a city quiet and secure. It will be like a tent whose ropes are taut and whose stakes are firmly fixed. The Lord will be our mighty one. He will be like a wide river of protection that no enemy can cross, that no enemy ship can sail upon. For the Lord is our judge, our lawgiver, and our king. He will care for us and save us. The enemy's sails hang loose on broken masts with useless tackle. Their treasures will be divided by the people of God. Even the lame will take their share. The people of Israel will no longer say, we are sick and helpless, for the Lord will forgive their sins. Isaiah 34. Come here and listen, O nations of the earth. Let the world and everything in it hear my words. For the Lord is enraged against the nations. His fury is against all their armies. He will completely destroy them, dooming them to slaughter. Their dead will be left unburied, and the stench of rotting bodies will fill the land. The mountains will flow with their blood, and the heavens above will melt away and disappear like a rolled-up scroll. The stars will fall from the sky like withered leaves from a grapevine, a shriveled fig from a fig tree. And when my sword has finished its work in the heavens, it will fall upon Edom, the nation I have marked for destruction. The sword of the Lord is drenched with blood and covered with fat, with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of rams prepared for sacrifice. Yes, the Lord will offer a sacrifice in the city of Bozra. He will make a mighty slaughter in Edom. Even men as strong as wild oxen will die, the young men alongside the veterans. The land will be soaked with blood and the soil enriched with fat. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, a year when Edom will be paid back for all it did to Israel. The streams of Edom will be filled with burning pitch, and the ground will be covered with fire. The judgment on Edom will never end. The smoke of its burning will rise forever. The land will lie deserted from generation to generation. No one will live there anymore. It will be haunted by the desert owl and the screech owl, the great owl and the raven. For God will measure that land carefully. He will measure it for chaos and destruction. It will be called the land of nothing, and all its nobles will soon be gone. Thorns will overrun its palaces, and nettles and thistles will grow in its forts. The ruins will become a haunt for jackals and a home for owls. Desert animals will mingle there with the hyena, their howls filling the night. Wild goats will bleat at one another among the ruins, and night creatures will come there to rest. There the owl will make her nest and lay her eggs. She will hatch her young and cover them with her wings, and the buzzards will come, each one with its mate. Search the book of the Lord and see what he will do. Not one of these birds and animals will be missing, and none will lack a mate, for the Lord has promised this. His spirit will make it all come true. He has surveyed and divided the land and deeded it over to those creatures. They will possess it forever, from generation to generation. Isaiah 35. Even the wilderness and desert will be glad in those days. The wasteland will rejoice and blossom with spring crocuses. Yes, there will be an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. The deserts will become as green as the mountains of Lebanon, as lovely as Mount Carmel or the plains of Sharon. There the Lord will display his glory, the splendor of our God. With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands and encourage those who have weak knees. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, for our God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams will water the wasteland. The parched ground will become a pool, and springs of water will satisfy the thirsty land. Marsh grass and reeds and rushes will flourish where desert jackals once lived. And a great road will go through that once deserted land. It will be named the Highway of Holiness. Evil-minded people will never travel on it. It will be only for those who walk in God's ways. Fools will never walk there. Lions will not lurk along its course, nor any other ferocious beasts. There will be no other dangers. Only the redeemed will walk on it. Those who have been ransomed by the Lord will return. They will enter Jerusalem singing, crowned with everlasting joy. Sorrow and mourning will disappear, and they will be filled with joy and gladness. James chapter 2. My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? For example, suppose someone comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another comes in who is poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and a good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, you can stand over there, or else sit on the floor. Well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgments are guided by evil motives? Listen to me, dear brothers and sisters. Hasn't God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith? Aren't they the ones who will inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? But you dishonor the poor. Isn't it the rich who oppress you and drag you into court? Aren't they the ones who slander Jesus Christ, whose noble name you bear? Yes, indeed. It is good when you obey the royal law as found in the scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law. For the person who keeps all of the laws, except one, is as guilty as a person who has broken all God's laws. For the same God who said, you must not commit adultery, also said, you must not murder. So if you murder someone, but do not commit adultery, you have still broken the law. So whatever you say or whatever you do, remember that you will be judged by the law that sets you free. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble and tear. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened just as the scriptures say. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called a friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. Now may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. There is a law that can set us free. And James wants us to be free of favoritism. Favoritism is self-serving. We show favoritism to others because of what it means for us. That person can maybe make me look good or look important or open doors for me, opportunities for me. So we show favoritism because we're looking for the favor, not because of our love for that other person. James calls these evil motives. This is the royal law of the world, as it were. This is the way the world works. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. But James is pointing us to another royal law, he calls it. The royal law of God's kingdom, which he says is this in verse 8, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Favoritism might seem like a little sin, but James takes this seemingly benign practice and says, hey, this is evil. And that by violating it, we are guilty of breaking the law. More important, this is evidence that you don't really get the meaning behind God's royal law. As we hear in verse 12, he says, remember that you will be judged by the law that sets you free. God's royal law sets us free. And God's royal law is love. Remember what it says? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. God's royal law is love. God's royal law isn't orthodox thinking. I believe everything correctly. All of my theology is in order. God's royal law isn't pious actions. God's law can't be reduced to theological statements or a list of good things that you must do or must avoid doing. No, the royal law of God is love. Love lived out produces right thinking, and it produces right action. Love lived out is only possible, though, when we experience this love ourselves. When we allow this love to flow through us into this world, healing happens. Freedom happens. When we allow this love to flow through us, this is what it means to walk in the Spirit. Allowing His love to flow into this world, healing us, setting us free, healing and setting others free too. That's the gospel. That's the good news. So let us look to God's royal law. It's love lived out. And let's be set free. That can happen. That's a prayer of my heart for my own soul. I want to be set free. I want to live by God's royal law. I want to live in love. I want to experience this love so that I can be set free too. That's a prayer for my own heart. That's the prayer I have for my family, for my girls, for my son. That's my prayer for you. May it be so.
DailyRadioBible.com. That's where we hang our hat out here in the interwebs. And it is always such a blessing to hear from you, to find out a little bit about you, who you are, where you're from, how you stumbled upon this podcast. Next time you got a moment, would you take it and let a brother know? Hey, speaking of staying in the know, we just sent out our monthly newsletter via email, and we would love for you to receive that. So if you sign up for the newsletter on your app next month, you'll get it. It's a great way of staying informed on the happenings, the whereabouts of the Daily Radio Bible. Things like our upcoming trip to New Jersey. I'm going to be in New Jersey for a few days. And if you're out there, New Jersey people, I'd love to see you. I'd love to hug your neck. I'd love to bless you, my friend. So, hey, reach out. Let's connect. Hey, another thing that you'll find out in that newsletter is about our upcoming trip to the Holy Land in April of 2018. This is going to be our third trip there. It's more than a trip, my friend. It is a pilgrimage of the soul. It's a time when you can connect with God in such amazing ways. It really is. And connect with the story of God, His love story. It's been written large for all to see. Would love to have you join me on that trip. You can begin that registration process even now by going to dailyradiobible.com and clicking on the link there for Holy Land 2018. Another thing I'd love for you to do, my friend, is this. Write us a review. Would you go to iTunes, the iTunes store, or Google Play, and offer us up a review for the podcast? These reviews are so helpful in helping other people to find this podcast. There's a sea of content out there, and we would love for folks to see this life raft, this podcast, this community that comes alongside hungry hearts and joins them in the Word each day. And you can play a big part of that by simply writing us a review as well as sharing the app. So consider sharing the app as well. And last of all, if you would like to partner with the Daily Radio Bible, that is so appreciated and so necessary. This ministry does not exist without partners, without people coming alongside and joining in on this effort. You can do that right on the app itself. Just click on the donate link there, or you can go to dailyradiobible.com and you can click on the link there. Or if you're old school, you can mail your gift in by mailing it to Daily Radio Bible, 7216 Rolling Oaks Court, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45239. Hey, we've done it again. We have spent another day in the Bible, and I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength. And let's remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. All righty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You guys take care. Bye-bye.